Okay. All right. Well, welcome, everybody. It's really good to be here. I was really excited when Brad said he was starting to do the old treasures of the Old Testament because, like he said, Joseph has been my favorite. Joseph always had this good heart, no matter what circumstances he went through. So next to Jesus, Joseph has always been the one I've drawn to and thought, oh, man, I want to be like him, you know? It's hard to kind of visualize being like Jesus, but Joseph I could relate to because he was a person. You know what I mean? He had his sin. He had things happen to him. So he was more relatable to me. So that's why I think he was always my favorite. But I'm going to get right into it because a lot of people don't even know the story about Joseph. And so I'm going to lay a foundation, and I'm going to read kind of a longer piece of scripture. It's Genesis 37, 2 through 11. And it just gives you a foundation of what the story is about. Joseph, when he was 17 years of age, was pasturing the flock with his brothers while he was still a youth. And Joseph brought back a bad report to their father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his sons because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a colorful coat. His brothers saw that their father loved him more than all the other brothers, and so they hated him and could not even speak to him on friendly terms. Then Joseph had a dream, and when he told his brothers his dream, they hated him even more. And he said to them, "Please listen to my dream, which I had. And behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf rose up and stood erect. And behold, your sheaves gathered around, and they bowed down to my sheaf." And then his brothers said, "Are you going to really rule over us?" And they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words that he spoke. Now, he then still had another dream, and it was related to his brothers, and he said, "Lo, I've still had another dream, and behold, the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars all were bowing down to me." And he related it even to his father and his brothers. And then his father even rebuked him and said, "What is this dream that you have had? Shall I and your mother and your brothers come and bow ourselves down before you on the ground?" And his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept all these things in mind. So that just gives you a foundation. Joseph, let me just tell you, had 12, there was 12 all in all. He was the 11th child. And the story continues then where Joseph was sent out by his dad to go check on his brothers who had the flocks and were grazing the flocks. And they were very wealthy, so they had a lot of flocks. So his 10 older brothers are out with the flocks. Dad goes, "Go find out how your brothers are doing and see how the flock is and bring back a report." Well, of course, he had already given a bad report on them before, you know. So when the brothers see him, they go, "Oh no, here comes the dreamer. Hey, let's kill him and throw him in a pit. And then we'll say a wild beast devoured him. And then we'll see what becomes of his dreams." Well, Reuben, the oldest, said, "Oh, we don't want to shed blood. Let's just throw him in this pit and we'll see what happens." And Reuben had planned on going back and rescuing his brother and taking him back home. But the other brothers, Reuben went and checked on the flock. The other brothers saw some Midianites traveling by and going towards Egypt. And he said, "Let's sell our brother. That way we can get rid of him, but we're not shedding blood. He is flesh and blood, you know." And so they sold him for 20 pieces of silver. And so Joseph is taken. Reuben comes back and he goes, "The boy's not in the pit. What happened?" And they go, "Well, we didn't kill him, but we sold him." And Reuben was just like, "Oh, man." So what they did is they took some goat's blood. They tore up his coat, his special coat from his father that his father had given him, and put the blood on the coat, and they take it back to his dad. And they say, "Is this your son Joseph's? We found it. Joseph's been torn up by a wild beast. He's dead." And he was devastated. And the father mourned and mourned. And after a long time of mourning, all his family tried to comfort him. And they couldn't. He said, I'll never get over this. Joseph was my child. So let's just pray. Lord, Holy Spirit, we just invite you into this presence right now with us. Open our hearts to the truths of your love, your provision, your forgiveness, and your blessings. Teach us to desire to have the heart of the Father Give us ears to hear today, Lord. We have so much to learn from you, and you have so much to give us. And we just thank you for your presence in Jesus' name. Amen. So like I said, Joseph was his favorite. And it says in the Bible that it was because of his old age. He had him in his old age. But what I think it really was is that Jacob had four wives. Rachel was the wife he really loved. And when he saw her, he asked his father-in-law, I will serve you 7 years if I can marry your younger daughter. And so he said the time went by like days because he loved Rachel so much. So then, on the wedding day, the older sister hadn't been married yet. And that was kind of not a good thing in those days. So they put a veil over her, and he married the older sister, and he didn't realize it. And then he goes, what have you done to me? And he goes, now, serve me another 7 years, and you can have Rachel. So he served 14 years to marry Rachel. So he really loved Rachel. So Rachel, here is the loved wife. All these other wives are having babies, and she doesn't have any. And then finally, in their old age, she has Joseph. And I think that's why Joseph was so special, is because it was the wife he really loved. And then in his old age, this child came. And then Benjamin came after that, and Rachel died in childbirth with Benjamin. So Joseph was like what he had left of Rachel. You know, Joseph and Benjamin were. So here, Joseph was given a favor. And what I see in this is that Jacob, it's really weird because my message really was not going to be on parenting. But as I'm studying and preparing the lesson, all of a sudden God's like, this is a parenting issue. He did not favor all his children. He had a favorite. And when we have a favorite and we show it, it brings and breeds resentment in a family. I know my kids would always come up to me and say, I'm your favorite, right, Mom? And I'd go, yes, you are. And then the next one would come up, I'm your favorite, right? Yes, you are. Because they're all my favorites. Even if I had a favorite, which I don't, kids. Okay, even if I had a favorite, I wouldn't let them know I had a favorite. Because they all are loved. They are all special. So that was one mistake that Jacob did. He kind of bred the resentment. And then he gave him special things. Joseph was being served while the other brothers are having to work. Joseph is getting this beautiful coat, you know, and they didn't get anything. Joseph is giving a bad report. He's 17 years old, and they're all older and working, and he gives a bad report, and Dad listens to him. So you can see where this kind of happened, is that his immaturity, I don't think Joseph had a bad heart. I think he was just selfish, and his world was very small. And when we make our children and have our life revolve around our children, we make their world very small because it's all about them. And that's a wrong parenting issue. Because our issue has to be about God. It's not about us. And so Jacob kind of messed up in that area a little bit. And then you can see the results of it too. And then Joseph didn't help matters because he didn't know when to keep his mouth shut. I mean, you'd think he'd be a little aware that his brothers did not enjoy his presence too much. And then he's like, you guys are going to bow down to me, you know? So all of that figures in to why his brothers felt the way they did and what happened to him then. So we're going back to the situation. He's 17 years old. The reality of his brothers hating him kind of went over his head. But it became a reality when he went out to see them and they ripped his coat off and threw him in a pit. They ripped away his whole life from him. They took the favored coat. I want to tell you one thing though. Jacob did do right as a parent. Jacob said, there is a God, and he is the God of my father Abraham, the God of Jacob, or God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, and we will obey him and follow him, and he is with us. He is with us. And that is the one thing that he taught all his kids. And Joseph, I think, probably grasped that more than all the other kids did because he felt the love of his father. So he understood that God loved him. and that God was with him. All right, so that's something Jacob did do. And so that was a good thing that Jacob did. So what Jacob or Joseph is getting everything, his position, his family, his riches, and his special coat ripped away from him. So Joseph naturally could have been very angry. And later on how distressed he was when his brothers were selling him. I'm sure he was begging them, please don't do this, you know. And so he was. But he realized, even in the midst of everything being stripped away from him, not everything, he had God. God was with him. He wasn't alone. And it's kind of like what Amanda was saying. He had that foundational truth that his dad told him, God is with you, and he cares about you. Have we given our children that foundational truth? Have we given our children the knowing that who they are, that you are special and important to God? You have been created in his image and in his likeness. When we're made in his likeness, that means we will be like him. So, parents, we need to make sure we give our children the opportunity to hear the truth of the Word of God. And real truth never changes. Real truth is unmovable and unchanging. Now, if you look at our world, everything is changing in our world. All right? Everything moves. Our morals have changed. Our priorities have changed. Our emotions and our thinking changes. The world systems have changed. Our values have changed. But God's word has stayed the course over thousands of years. Amen. And it is unchanging, unmovable, and solid. That's why it is the only truth that we can rely on. And it's right here. The one thing I love about God's word, it says in the Bible in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Do you see why this Bible is different from any other book? It's because it is God. We can't see God physically, so he gave us something physical that we could hang on to. Something that when disaster happens, when tragedy happens, we have something to hang on to. Amen. To know his truth, that he is with us. It says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not die but have eternal life. Are you giving your kids a chance at eternal life? Are you giving them the truth? Their eternity matters more than what happens on this earth. Right. And God said he gave his very best. He gave himself so that we could have eternal life, not eternal death. And so I want you to see that just shows you a little glimpse of God's heart, the heart of the Father. He gave everything. He gave his best. He gave his all so that we could be set free. And that, if we accept his heart and that truth of he loves us, that God is for us, God is not against us. God loves me. That truth gave Joseph something to hang on to in the most devastating time of his life. He said, I know God cares about me. I know I'm not alone here. Now, he could have given and said, but God, they're so mean to me. Did you see how they treated me? I'm never going to happen. Poor me, I'm a victim. Oh, no. And he could have really gone into a pity party. But when he gave God his heart and said, I'm going to trust you with my hurts, with what's going on in my life, God took it, and he changed Joseph's heart, and he healed his hurts, and he healed his woundedness. We need to keep our eyes focused on the truth, the truths of God's love, the Father's heart, because that is going to see us through any horrible time. In Genesis 1:26, it says that we were created in His image and in His likeness. So in the midst of this terrible situation, Joseph had to learn how to be a servant because he was a slave. So he had to learn how to be like God. God came, when Jesus came to the earth, He served. And so we see that that's what Joseph had to learn how to do. He learned how to have the Father's heart. It was through a difficult situation, but it opened up a new door for him to feel and see the presence of God. In Genesis 39:2-4, it says, "And the Lord was with Joseph, so that he became a successful man. He was in the house of his master, the Egyptian, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and how the Lord caused him to prosper in everything he put his hand to do. So Joseph found favor in the sight, and he became his personal servant. And he made him overseer over all his households, over his house and all that he owned, he put in charge to Joseph." So Joseph, Potiphar was the master guard of the Egyptian army. And he placed everything he owned, fields, servants, land, property, everything into Joseph's care. And he didn't worry about it. The only thing he held back was his wife. Do you see that when we let God heal our heart, when we accept the truth that He loves us, when we realize that God values people and has people, that when we serve others, we're broadening our horizon. We're becoming like God. When Jesus walked this earth, He was the greatest witness to His disciples of what serving was day after day after day. And this is what He told them, because they were all wanting to be, "Hey, can I sit with you, you know, next to you in the throne in heaven?" And this is what He told them in Mark 10:43-45. "Whoever wishes to be great among you shall be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you shall be slave to all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many." God was putting His own heart into Joseph, teaching him how to serve, and that when you serve, you open up the presence and the blessings of God. So that when Joseph started being the lowest of low slaves, probably wiping the dirt off of people's feet when they came in the house, he ended up raising up, and everything he put his hand to do, he prospered. And that's what God wants to do to you. Amen. He wants us to have His heart, because people are valuable. And serving and letting His goodness be seen. And that's just it. I have a serving motivational gift, you guys. So I have this strong motivational gift of serving and wanting to help people. Sometimes it's overboard, my kids will tell you. All right? It can irritate them. But I just want you to know that if I'm not pointing them and when my serving, I can't do everything for everybody. That's not serving like God's heart. God wanted to make Joseph stronger. That's why He taught him how to serve. You can't do everything for everybody as a serving motive. That's not going to help him, because then they're going to look to you instead of to God. So you have to be wise in your serving. All right? And so I just wanted to add that little thing, because I know that that's an area I've struggled with, and I've had to learn how to balance out. Am I pointing them to Jesus and serving people to help them get closer to God and have a relationship with God so they can walk in the blessings of God? Or am I just doing everything for them? So there's a balance there. Well, Joseph chose to keep his eyes focused on the Father's heart. Now, it opened up all these doors of blessings, but guess what? You would think, oh, yay, the story had a happy, you know, at least it came out better. The wife of Potiphar thought Joseph was really good looking. And every day she's like, come with me, come on, let's go. And he's like, no, I can't do that. I can't sin against God or my master. He's trusted me with everything. I wouldn't ever take advantage of his trust. And she did this, it says, day after day after day, and he kept running away from her. So that's a sign right there. He was honorable. He had this relationship with God, and he was not going to let anything come in and enter in and destroy that. But one day she grabbed onto his clothes, and she wasn't going to let go. And she's like, come on, let's go. And he's like, no, and he just let his clothes go off, and he ran away. So there she has his clothes, and she's mad at him. So she says to her husband, that Egyptian you brought, or that slave you brought into the house, he tried to have his way with me. And so the husband was very upset, and he said, Joseph, you're in jail. Put him in jail. Take him away. And everything got ripped away from him all over again. Not because it was fair, but there's a bad devil out there. There's bad things in this world that happens. There's accidents that happened. But the only thing is, Joseph knew what to do, and he did it. Again, he didn't have his pity party. It goes on to say he guarded his heart. He kept guarding his heart with the truth of God's love. In Genesis 39:21, it says, but the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him and gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. And the chief jailer committed to Joseph all the prisoners in the jail, and he was responsible. The chief jailer did not supervise anything that Joseph was in charge of because the Lord was with him, and everything he did, the Lord made prosper. So you see, again, the witness of the Lord on Joseph was there. Joseph trusted God no matter what situation he was in, whether he was a slave, whether he was in jail, or whether he was the overseer of all the house. He didn't give up his relationship with God. So the cupbearer of the Pharaoh and the baker get thrown into jail. They put him, Joseph, in charge of them. He gets them settled in there. They had been there a while. And all of a sudden, one morning, he realizes that they're both kind of distressed. And he goes, why are you distressed? And they say, we had these dreams, but we don't know how these dreams came, you know, what they mean. And he goes, well, isn't God the one who interprets dreams? He goes, tell me your dream. So the cupbearer tells him his dream, and he says, oh, in 3 days you will be restored to your position as cupbearer to the Pharaoh. And he said, please remember me and bring me before the Pharaoh. I was kidnapped as a child and brought into slavery, and then I was thrown into jail for no reason at all. And he said, so please remember me before the Pharaoh. And then the baker comes up and he says, hey, here's my dream. And you can read these in Genesis, I think it's like 39. And so the baker, he goes, in 3 days, you will be hung and dead. And the birds will pick your bones. And so the baker, I'm sure, you know, and that's just it. Joseph was honest. He had to share the truth, right? He couldn't honeycoat it. That's what the dream meant. And so 3 days later, it's exactly what happened. The baker was killed. The cupbearer was restored to his position. So you think Joseph probably had a little hope that maybe the cupbearer went to the Pharaoh and, you know, talked on my behalf. But he actually forgot about Joseph for 2 years. Now, 2 years later, the Pharaoh has a dream. And you've got to understand, Joseph is 31 years old now. He's been in slavery, an overseer, thrown in jail. And now he's 31, he was 17, so that's 14 years. And now the Pharaoh calls him up and says, I heard you can interpret dreams. I want you to interpret these dreams. I had two of them. One, fat cows, 7 fat cows and 7 really scrawny, skinny, thick, sickly cows. And the sickly ones ate the fat cows, but they still looked sickly. Then I had 1 ear of corn stalk, had 7 corn ears on it, and they were plump and beautiful. And the other stalk had 7 scrawny, just dried out, nothing. And the 7 scrawny ones ate the plump ones, and they were still really scrawny. What does this mean? And he goes, well, the Lord God is telling you what is about to happen. And the reason he gave you two different dreams is to let you know he's going to do it quickly. The seven fat cows and the seven good ears meant that there's going to be 7 years of abundance that is coming. But after that, there's going to be 7 years of famine that is going to hit the land. So what you need to do is you need to get a wise man who will store up and storehouse, build storehouses in every city and take one-fifth of all the produce that comes in, all the harvest, one-fifth go into the storehouse and prepare for the famine. And the Pharaoh goes, who wiser than you? God is with you. So he says, you are going to become the second in command over all of Egypt. Everyone will bow down to you. They will do what you say. And only I will be greater than you. Now, that could have never happened. But then think about what the dream was that Joseph had. That people, his family was going to bow down to him. So you have this famine that comes. And it affects not only Egypt, but also Israel. And so Jacob and his family are starting to get hungry. And they go, hey, take the 10 brothers, go and get some food. I heard there's food in Egypt. Well, they come in, and guess who's there? Joseph sees them, and he recognizes them. Now, Joseph, this is what's so cool. His heart's already been healed. He doesn't have animosity towards his brother, but he is curious. And so he sees his 10 brothers, and he says, are you guys spies? Oh, no, we're not spies. And he asks, how's your father? Are you, you know, and they go, well, our father's still alive. Is there any other brothers? Yes, there's one more brother and then one that's already passed away. And he goes, oh, okay. And he goes, well, I really think you're spies, but I'll tell you what, I'll just keep one of your brothers, put him in jail, and you can have food and take it back, but bring your younger brother back, and then I'll know you're not spies. And so Joseph, the brothers are like, oh boy, you know? So then they leave with the food, go back home. Simeon is the one who ends up having to stay. And they go back home. When they get home, they see that their money's been put back in their bags. And they're like, oh my goodness, oh no. And so then they tell their dad, we have to go back, we have to take Benjamin back to the Lord of Egypt because he wants to see him. And he goes, why did you tell him about Benjamin? You're not gonna rob me of my son like you did, like Joseph is gone. You can't take him. So time goes on, and then they start getting hungry again. So now they have to go back, and they just promise, Dad, if anything happens to Benjamin, you can take my kids, you can take my life. I will guard him with my life. So they let Benjamin go, and Benjamin comes, and Joseph sees him, and he plans a big meal for all his brothers. And they sit down, and they eat, and they're like, wow. You know, and Simeon got released from jail. And so they're all, you know, enjoying this. He gives them the food in their sacks and stuff like that and sends them on the way. But what he told them to do is take my silver chalice and put it in the youngest bag. So then they take off. The army chases after them and says, why did you repay my master's kindness by taking his chalice? And they go, oh, we didn't take it. And he comes back, and they go, we're going to check every bag. And they go, fine, whoever did it, they'll be your slave. Okay? Well, guess who's it in? Benjamin. And they're like, oh, no, okay, you can't take Benjamin. So all of them go back to Egypt in front, and they come to Joseph again. And so the brothers are like, truly, they said to one another, we're guilty concerning our brother because this distress, we saw the distress of his soul. He pleaded with us, and yet we would not listen to him. And now the reckoning of his blood is on us. So Joseph comes in, and he brings them all in, and they're like, please don't make Benjamin your slave. Don't make him your, take me, all right? And he sees how his brothers stand up for Benjamin. And Joseph tells all of his officials, go away. And it's just him and his brothers. And this is what he says in Genesis 45:4. I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold to Egypt. And now, do not be grieved or angry with yourselves, because you sold me here. For God sent me to preserve life and to keep you alive. God has made me Lord of all of Egypt, so that you can come here and live. there was going to be 5 more years of famine. And so he said, bring everybody, bring the whole family. How is my father? And he cried and he wept and he hugged all his brothers. He had no animosity towards them. He said, I know it was God. Do you see what God can do when we hold on to his truth and we don't let the circumstances of our life feed on those circumstances of hate, anger, rejection, you know, betrayal, all those things? Because those will eat away at you, and they will make your life terrible, and they also will spread over onto other people. But God says, I've come to give you new life. Jesus, when he came, he gave us new life. So then when we accept that gift of that God loves us, Jesus paid for my sins. He literally went to hell in our place so that we don't have to go to hell. He paid for my sin, not just the whole world's, but mine, and he did it for you. And that is a gift of love that he gave his all. But that's not just it. Then he gives us this benefit package. If you read Psalms 103, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who's forgiven all your sins, healed all your diseases, crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, and renews your youth like the eagle. God has taken sickness, sin, the devil, eternal death, and he's wiped it out through the blood of Jesus. Amen. So why are we allowing what he's done not to be the overcoming power source in our world? It's because we as parents, we as Christians, have let the devil lie to us and beat us up. And we've allowed our emotions. You know, I work in children's ministry, and I'll tell you, the kids are amazing. They're amazing, especially when you have them one-on-one. You really see their heart. You see God, you know? It's amazing. But when they get with each other, something goes off. Their flesh just rises up. They're nasty to each other. They're mean to each other. They have no patience for one another. The gossip and the words that they speak, even to my adults, it's sad. That is a lie of the devil, that we don't have self-control, that we can just do whatever we want. That is living in a small life, and it's not accepting the truth of who we are, because we've been made in God's image. And it's our responsibility as parents, as adults, to train up our children in the truth. Because if we're not giving them the truth, what's happening to their eternity? We have got to start letting the truth of God's word come alive inside of us and stop the ugliness of life eating us up. We can give God our hearts, and he will heal them, and he will bless us, and he will help us to start seeing how valuable people are. And we will start serving one another instead of backbiting one another and devouring each other. That is what God wants us to do. He wants us to live in this new life and see that this new life is different from the old life. One of the things I always tell my kids, your sin is not who you are. Don't call yourself a liar, because that's not who you are. If you've asked Jesus in your heart, you've been given a new creation. You are a brand new creation, and you are not your sin. So don't identify with your sin as who you are. And there's so many sins out there. Pornography, lust, there's lying, anxiety. The spirit of fear and anxiety has just gone rampant. Those are all lies of the devil. We don't have to accept them. We have over, by the blood of Jesus, he went and he triumphed over the devil, every single lie that the devil tries to throw at us. Fear, anxiety, all these things, greed, whatever. Unforgiveness. It's been defeated. We got to start declaring truth. But if you don't know the truth, how can you declare the truth? You have to receive the truth. You have to get to know the truth. Because this is something he gave us that we can hold on to, stand against the enemy. The devil has had his time in our country, in our nation, in our families. And now we have got to start to rise up and say, no, God is bigger. Jesus already defeated every sin, every sickness, every disease, every lie of the devil. And we need to start declaring the truth. And we need to speak it forth over our children. And we need to teach them how to serve and value others. And we need to see how God can heal our hearts, because we need to give him our heart. And you know what? He wants to give us his heart. There is power in the Word. There's power through his Spirit. Joseph had a relationship with God that transformed him. So these are my key points that I want you to remember. Get the truth inside of you. He is for you. He is not against you. The truth can only come from God's Word, the Bible. Guard your heart and let go of the ugliness and the pain of this world. Forgive people and trust God with your heart. Focus on Him, not on your situations. And learn to serve and value people so that they can really see God in you. And then the blessings and the outpouring of favor that will be on you, no matter what position in life you have. It doesn't matter if you're the president of the United States or the janitor at the school. You can have impact. Think of the impact Joseph had when he was a young boy. He was served. He didn't have much of an impact. He brought forth resentment from his brothers. But now think of the impact he had when he gave his heart to Jesus and he trusted in his love. He made an impact on a nation. And he also made an impact on his family. And that's what we need to realize. You can make an impact because you have the living God who can come alive inside of you. So for time's sake, I'm just going to have everybody repeat after me the prayer of salvation, because that's where it begins. You have to accept what Jesus did for you, that he went to the cross, he paid for all your sin, and that you can be set free from that and given a new life. So just bow your heads with me and let's just all pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for your love, that you so love us, that you gave yourself for me. I accept your gift. And Lord, I give you my life. I give you my sin. I give you my heart, my mind, my will, and my emotions. God, give me new life. And God, give me your heart. Transform me into the likeness of you. I put my trust in you, Jesus. Fill me with your Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.